Joining me in the studio this morning is Elmarie Grant. Elmarie Grant is head of Synthesis Academy, and we want to talk about how emerging skills impact on the face of corporate education in South Africa. It sounds like a mouthful, but actually it's more simple than that. Elmarie, good morning.
Good morning, Howard.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for the invite. Lovely to be here.
All right. So it's very interesting because you and I were just talking during that song around the slot that we have every Friday with Tanya Currie. And that's where we look at the news in numbers. We look at how news stories are impacting on social media, how social media influences media. And you said, who would have ever thought that, because Tanya has a company called Acumen Media, they do this for corporates. Your words were, who would have thought that this would have been a job? And it's not just a job, it's a very successful business. And that's really what we want to talk about, because so many of us and our kids have no idea what the future holds. We can't imagine that which we don't know. And we speak about this often, but how do we equip ourselves and how do we equip people in our work environments to be agile and to be able to adapt to this new world?
Absolutely. We keep talking about this idea that the machines are coming and AI and machine learning are going to take over the world and they're going to replace us humans in the work and the jobs that we do. But the reality is that machines are coming and they are taking over a significant part of the workforce and doing things that in the past we would have thought is part and parcel of any normal workforce. And so trying to look into the future and to say, well, what are some of these potential jobs that we will see and how do we make sure that we've got the right skill sets in place, that we can meet these demands and that we can be ready for them without being caught flat-footed is really important. And I think if you look at some of the big trends that are shaping not just the South African economy, but also industry globally, they are things like the rise of new and emergent technology, things like the availability of big data and our ability to interpret that and analyze that and then do something with it that fundamentally impacts our consumers at the end of the line of those data pipelines. Advancing the computing power. You know, we know that our cell phones now are more powerful than some of the massive big pieces of technology NASA had when we sent a man to the moon.
I always find that so unbelievable that we sit in our hand, we walk around shopping malls with this powerful computer. And just take pictures of our food.
Exactly.
Zanatti.
Yes, I'm guilty.
We don't judge. Yeah. We don't judge. Yeah.
But what's really at play here, I think, is the fact that there seems to be this understanding that we need to prepare ourselves skills-wise for what's coming down the line. And yet our public education system seems to be very ill-equipped to provide some of those skills. So one of the interesting facts out of the World Economic Forum's The Future of Jobs report, which was published towards the beginning of 2019, was that if you look at the South African profile, very few employers are actually trusting in our public education system, whether it is at secondary or tertiary level, to provide those skills.
Wow.
In fact, less than 15% of employers say that this is where the skills of the future are going to come from. And that means that we need to find a different way.
So where do they say it's coming from?
Exactly. And so what's really interesting is that we are not even looking at tertiary education. We're not even looking at universities to provide this. We are looking at the workforce. We are looking at corporates and corporate in-house training teams to start building and providing these skills for us. And that's a significant
shift
in where we used to come from. Corporate L&D teams, learning and development teams, were traditionally there to sort of top up some very specialist technical knowledge to make sure that people are entrenched within the business and in the culture of the organization. But now we are seeing that they are being asked to provide real, hard, long-term skills and to develop that within the context of that particular industry or organization. And that means that our L&D teams need to be completely differently equipped, but also that as corporates, we have to think differently about how we go about and how we invest in the learning that we offer to to our employees.
I guess to some extent, some industries or some qualifications always relied on the corporates or on the people within the industry to train. In other words, doctors did their residency or house job. Lawyers did their articles, and so did accountants. But other than that, universities were meant to provide more or less the skills that you needed, aside from how to use a fax machine. You know, that you could learn when you got to the office. But everything else you needed to have in your brain, and now you just needed to apply it. Today, everything seems to have shifted.
Absolutely. And I think we, as a country, we realized that about 10 or 15 years ago, when we created the National Qualifications Framework and the South African Qualifications Authority, which really had as its aim to better entrench workplace learning. And so if we look at the learnership programs that have come out of that particular initiative, are trying to get graduates into the workplace and giving them that practical, real work-life experience, we've made great strides. But certainly the model is still very young and not particularly mature, and we need to do more of that. And what we find is that, and we've seen this across a variety of industries, is when we get those graduates, actually, while they have fantastic technical and theoretical
knowledge. Yeah.
Really, the practical implementation of that is sorely lacking, and we almost have to go back to basics to try and build some of those skills. Now, I think some of that has got to do with the fact that the skills that we now need in the workplace are not the skills that we needed 10 or 15 years ago. So the ability to use the fax machine used to be the only thing that we had to teach them, as you were saying. But really what we now need are significantly different underlying skills. Things like analytical thinking and reasoning. Things like creativity and originality. Our school systems are not geared to design creativity and originality in our learners.
On the contrary.
We teach our children to learn to pass an exam. And increasingly we see that where schools are chasing the exam
and getting
pass
better
marks.
And getting better and better results, but unfortunately not equipping kids. And of course we're not making a negative comment about schools, because they even the private schools are functioning within a system. They have to function within a system. That's how they're judged.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those traditional measurements for some of these skills are still valid. So if we look at something like analytical thinking, the traditional measure for whether somebody has good analytical thinking skills would be maths or science.
Right.
And that's the way we would teach, and that's the way we would apply those skills, and that's the way we would measure. And I think those measurements absolutely are still valid. We know that maths teach really good logical thinking and really good complex problem solving and all of those reasoning and analytical ability. But I think the piece that is missing is taking that and then translating it into a world of work that is changing incredibly fast, that is now being confronted with things that we don't necessarily have exposure or access to before we join the workforce.
But isn't part of the problem the fact that we look at these as hard skills and soft skills? The fact that we talk about, you know, you need to learn these soft skills, the fact that you're calling it soft skills already makes me think, all right, fine, you know, it's like going to art in grade 5, you know. that's very nice as a soft skill, but actually we are underrating the importance of effective communication, of reading nonverbal communication, of negotiation skills, of the ability to adapt in an environment, cultural sensitivity towards people that don't come from exactly the same environment. How do you work in that? These things are absolutely critical, but we kind of see them as a nice to have, not as vital.
I even remember in varsity we had, I think in second year, a course called professional communication, where we had to do it for a semester, and I mean it's for BCom students. And we thought it was a joke.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's helped even me, like it's helped a lot in my
Is that where you
career.
Learn to communicate
tonight? Yes, exactly.
All right, maybe you want to go and get your money back. I'm just saying. I don't know. Do they have a refund policy?
And I need that money now, Jackie.
So, Nati, we're nearly at the end of January. You're getting there. You're getting there.
Exactly. So I guess where this brings us to from a corporate learning and development environment is, how do we take not just our new graduates coming into the workplace, but also existing employees? And how do we really give them some of these skills? I agree with you. This idea that something like analytical ability is a soft skill is quite detrimental to what we're trying to achieve with it. And in fact, if you look at the list of emerging skills that the World Economic Forum lists as the desirable skills for 2020 and going forward, not a single one of them is what we would see as a traditional hard skill.
What are they as a matter of interest?
So let me read you the list very quickly. Analytical thinking and innovation, number one.
Forget that analytical thing.
There we go. Creativity, originality and initiative. Active learning and learning strategies. This is an interesting one because this speaks to, do we know how to learn effectively?
Right.
So it's learning how to learn. That is now becoming a critical skill. Technology design and programming. And the design portion here is the important one. It's not so much about the specific technology, but trying to click into computational thinking more than anything else. Complex problem solving. Our problems are not straightforward anymore. They really involve a lot of moving parts and pieces, especially in organizations. Leadership and social influence.
Interesting.
How fantastic is that?
Yeah.
Something that we thought only happened in pockets and that we cultivated in organizations only in pockets, that's now actually a fundamental skill.
And we've
kept
completely outside, you know, your whole influence, social media. It stayed outside of the workplace generally. You still come to work, do your job, and then you can have your fun as an influencer outside. But actually, these skills can be brought into the workplace.
Absolutely. And we miss a trick when we don't use the people in our organizations to help drive that. You know, we tend to think that it's the role of the communications team or the media team to do some of this work for us in our organizations. But in fact, we have people who are already very skilled in this area, and we just need to help them craft their messaging.
Well, does this place an incredible financial burden on corporates? You know, things aren't easy in South Africa. Most companies are taking a tremendous amount of strain. Obviously, this does help the business, but it does at the same time place a burden or a responsibility on the organization.
Absolutely, and I think the key here is that people seem to think that we need to do all the training we've been doing in the past, all the traditional stuff, and then we need to do this on top of that. We now need to run critical thinking courses. My approach is slightly different. For us to be doing this effectively, we need to go back to basics. So one of the fundamental structures or taxonomies in learning is a taxonomy called Bloom. And Benjamin Bloom created this taxonomy around the levels of learning quite a long time ago, but it's incredibly valid. And he says that the lowest form of learning is to recognize something. The next level up is to know something. So today I don't know it, then you tell me how to do it, and tomorrow I know it, fundamentally. There's nothing else I need to do with it. But as we move up that chain, right at the top, we get to innovation and creation. And so what we need to do is look at the courses that we are already creating and apply better underlying taxonomy to our learning methodologies so that we're not just imparting knowledge, but we're actually helping people build those analytical, systematic unpacking and then eventually innovation and creativity skills on top of the content we're already teaching them. And so it means that all we need to really do is redesign purposefully and with intention. So I'll give you a good example. A lot of the work that corporates often do is through e-learning. Now, e-learning is a really great tool.
Sure.
It's fast, it's efficient, it gets to a large workforce really quickly. But ultimately, e-learning is about imparting knowledge.
Right.
It's not really good at skill.
Right.
When we start talking about skill, we want people to implement things. We want them to play with it. We want them to take the same thing and implement it in different contexts until they're comfortable and it becomes part of an intuitive behavior. It's a little bit like when you do maths at school. You don't just cram the night before the exam. You actually have to do the homework to really be successful, right?
Exactly.
And so what we need to do in our organizations is when we start talking about the content that we're already teaching is do have better underlying methodologies that help people build the skill, the consistent implementation and practice of those behaviors that will really entrench it. I don't think it's particularly difficult, but it does mean that we have to think about the way that we produce our material very differently to what we've been doing in the past.
Time is 8:52. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 High FM. How emerging skills impact the face of corporate education in South Africa. Elmarie Grant joining me in a studio. Elmarie, thanks for taking the time to speak to us. Are corporates getting on board with it, or is there some resistance to this level of training and focus on training?
I think corporates are absolutely getting behind this idea that they have to roll up their sleeves and help build some of these skill sets. We know from the LinkedIn Learning Report, which was published late last year, having done their own research across a number of organizations, that this, we have never before seen the kinds of investment in learning that we are seeing at the moment, that corporates are making, simply because they want to be better. And I think we've started to see that there's real competitive advantage in having great people with excellent skills. It's something that speaks immediately and directly to the work that people do, to the engagement they feel at an organization, to how empowered they feel, and to what extent they take initiative within those organizations. Mm. And of course, the investment in learning is not just, it doesn't just have a learning outcome, but it actually influences the corporate culture.
Well, that it does, and I've often worked with companies that are admittedly old-fashioned, old school, and they don't go in for this newfangled thing, as they put it. But what's important for them to understand is actually that helps business. It improves your culture. It creates pride in the organization. Your staff and your employees are your brand ambassadors first and foremost before anybody else. And it changes an environment so much for the positive.
We've seen from a number of different studies on workplace engagement that people feel happiest when they feel that they are being invested in and they're developing. Mm. By far, that is a much better motivator than money or benefits, which is really interesting. And so it's such a simple thing. And I think the other thing is that we tend to think that these programs have to be massive and take a lot of money and investment.
Mm.
But actually, there are already pockets of really great knowledge within every organization. And it's trying to leverage those people, the skills that they have, and helping them to actually spread that across the remainder of the organization, that's really bringing the benefit.
As long as it becomes part of that culture. So if you ask somebody to put their hand up and say, right, you know what, I happen to be an expert on something, or not even an expert, but I'm passionate about something, I'd love to talk to everybody else about it. And then that creates, ultimately you start bringing in external people, but you create an environment of learning.
Absolutely.
And of interest.
You know, the stats tell us that 50% of all current employees will need to be reskilled. So we can't afford not to.
Wow,
and what's really interesting is that, you know, very often the people with the knowledge are not the guys putting up their hands saying, let me talk about this. And so it's encouraging those people. We always assume that everybody knows what we know. And that's not really the case. We all sit on these nuggets of experience and skill sets and knowledge. And it's about trying to really extract that. And also, I think it's about every individual saying, well, actually, I do have an opportunity here to tap into someone. And whether it's through informal mentorship programs or whether it's through looking at the way that we structure our corporate learning and how we interact with that, but taking the opportunities that we have. You know, learning organizations are not just driven from the L&D team or from the top, but actually from people putting up their hands and saying, how can I get involved? How can I either share my knowledge or build something or tap into what I already have and really use the resources that are so freely available. So it's a simple thing to do, and it's easy skills for us to acquire, but we must want to.
Yeah, and I guess that's the message, because I was going to say to you, what's the final message? The final message actually is want to. Because it's good for you. It's good for your organization. It's good for your people, and actually you make not only your environment a better place, but you'll do better.
Absolutely. The argument I often hear from the people signing the checks is that, but what happens if we invest so much in our people and then they leave?
And they leave. Yes, I've heard that a lot.
And the argument of what happens if you don't invest in them and they stay? We really have to make sure that even if we then prepare people for other opportunities, we know that even within that, there are still opportunities for our organization to build fabulous, expat networks, but ultimately it benefits everyone. There are no downsides to training.
Absolutely. That's where we are going to leave it. Time is 8:57. Elmarie Grant joining me in a studio. She's head of Synthesis Academy. How emerging skills impact the face of corporate education in South Africa. I certainly found that very interesting. I hope you did too.